The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Well, it's nice to see everybody. I'd like to welcome you all to our precepts retreat. We're opening the gate of the precepts. I always say this, I can't resist it. We're opening the gate of the 10 precepts because it's such a lovely image. We open the gate and we all walk through. Precepts are part of the way of the Buddha, and we're just opening the gate, walking through together. We're all here, monks and lay people, old and young, new trainees, venerable ones. We all take the precepts together this week. Some of us are new, some of us have taken them a long time ago. Some of us seem to live here. And yet, we all renew our precepts and all take them for the first time because they're always new. They're never something we just, oh yes, just the old precepts. There's always something new to learn, like training in any way. There's always something new for us. There's always something new to see, to learn. Because we keep looking to see where we need to learn something, where we need to do better. So we're always taking them for the first time in a way. It's always new. None of us is an expert. We're all learning. None of us keeps the precepts perfectly. We're all liable to make mistakes, break the precepts, you know, sometimes. Taking the precepts is a big thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's actually a whole change in our life because we're saying, I don't want to live just for myself anymore. I don't want just to live for what I want, creating suffering, being selfish. I want to do something different. I want to live in a better way. Not to harm beings or myself, to live my life well. I think we all want to live our life well. And sometimes we just don't know how to do it. But to take the precepts gives us a guide on how to live our life well. And it's something the heart really wants to do, to live well, to do our best, to do good for beings, be of beneficence rather than problem. We're making a commitment, committing ourselves to the precepts. People don't like commitment. But to commit oneself to something one really wants to do is a joyful thing. It's not just a kind of a bondage, bound hand and foot with the precept. It's not like that at all. It's giving ourselves to them. We give ourselves to this commitment to take and keep the precepts. And we do it in front of each other. We all do it together. And that helps it because we all kind of witness each other saying, I'm going to do this. And it helps us to keep to them. And again, even if we've taken the precepts a long time ago, doing it together again like this really helps keep them before our eyes, as it were. We want to be here. We've chosen to be here. We're not, nobody's asking us to do this. We all are answering that call of the heart to come and make this change in our life. And again, if we've taken the precepts before, we're still trying to make a change in our life because we still have more to learn, more to do. Freeing ourselves from selfishness, that's the real bondage. Fear and greed and anger and stuff, that's what really binds us. So the precepts are called the great liberators. They liberate us from that, show us how to liberate ourselves from anger and greed and fear and despair and all that. So in our tradition, we take 16 precepts as Dogen pass them down to us. He called the Three Refuges precepts. He was the first one to do this, I think. Taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. He called those the first three precepts. Because they really are precepts. When we take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, really, we're also taking the precepts because they all, in a sense, come down to that. To take refuge in trusting ourselves to something bigger and more enduring than we are. You take refuge in something that's bigger than you are, something that will help you, protect you, keep you safe in the storms of life. And taking refuge in the three treasures does that for us. There's always the vicissitudes of life, ups and downs, things happen to us. But when we take refuge in the three treasures, they sustain us. They have this foundation of faith that we live by, help us through all the difficulties that come our way. And they're the foundation of our religious life. Taking refuge in the Buddha, Buddha nature, our own Buddha nature. Taking refuge in our true heart, which knows actually what we need to do when we listen, when we sit still and listen to that. Taking refuge in that, in trusting ourselves to that within us which knows what we need to do. That which wants to follow the precepts, wants to cease from evil, do any good, do good for others. To try to cultivate the qualities of a Buddha, wisdom, compassion, selflessness, as the Buddha Shakyamuni exemplified in his own life, these qualities are what we want to cultivate. And keeping the precepts, taking the precepts, helps us to do that. They're our guide to living the life of a Buddha. Taking refuge in the Dharma, teaching of the Buddha, helps us to relinquish suffering, stop creating more. Again, it liberates us. The Dharma liberates us. The precepts are part of the Dharma, and to keep to them shows us how to live true to the Dharma, because to keep the precepts is to live in accord with the Buddha's teaching, the Dharma. Taking refuge in the Sangha, those who have taken the precepts, that's what Sangha means. Precept takers, whether monks or lay people, male or female, we are all precept holders, or we will be by the time we finish the week. We are the precept holders, we uphold them, we venerate them, we keep them safe. We safeguard them for the next generation. We pass them on. We live by them in our daily life as best we can. And that helps other beings, whether they ever take precepts or not. Just that we act with kindness to people, they act with kindness to other people. It kind of creates this ripple effect. When we keep to the precepts, practice kindness, unselfishness, non-greed and non-hatred, it helps the world. And our world could use a little help at the moment. So to take the precepts helps our world in our own little way. And maybe in a bigger way than we think, because we never know what effect we have on people, whether for good or ill, if we're kind to somebody. A little act of kindness. People remember that. You probably remember all kinds of little acts that somebody else might have done for you that they may have completely forgotten. But you might remember them. And we've kind of passed that on, as opposed to responding angrily to something. People remember that too. But if we can pass on kindness and compassion and wisdom, this helps everybody. Wider than we think, wider than we can imagine. So we've taken the three refuges. Then we take the three pure precepts. Cease from evil, do only good, do good for others. All the other precepts kind of come down to this. Don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, and so forth. All the 10 greater precepts. You've all read them, you've all studied them. And the three pure precepts are our kind of immediate reference guide. Am I ceasing from evil? You know, you might not be able to go through all 16, but am I going to do harm to somebody? Or is this a good thing to do? Is it good for other people? You know, we can kind of check And if it doesn't seem quite right against all those, well, maybe we'll wait, think about it some more, maybe do it differently. You know, it's a really good way of just calling a halt. Wait a minute, what am I doing? Is this good? Then the 10 precepts. And we've all, as I said, been studying the precepts. We may have one precept we find particularly hard. It seems coming up for us, bonking us on the nose. We seem to keep failing to keep it. It's often like that. We just keep trying, see where we break it, see where we keep needing to do better. When we're looking, we see more. So it looks as though we're doing poorly, but actually we may be doing better and just seeing more deeply where we need to do the work. So don't worry if it seems like you're not doing great. Maybe you're doing better than you think. Just be encouraged. Now, we don't take these precepts in order to be good people. We don't want some sort of stamp, good person, good person, good person, you know. Or to look like good people. You know, we've taken the precepts. Or to feel like good people, against, as opposed to all those awful people who haven't taken the precepts, or the ones who break the precepts. We see them all around us, and here I am, you know, we can feel kind of holy when we take the precepts. This can happen, but it'll wear off, because then we see that actually we don't keep them as well as we'd like to. No, not thinking, you know, I'm better than other people, or other people are better than me. That's not the point at all. It's not a judgment thing, not to judge ourselves or judge other people. That's not what it's for. One reason we take the precepts is because we're suffering. We've created suffering for ourselves, for other beings, and we want to stop. We want to do things differently. We don't want to suffer anymore. We want to live by kindness. We want to live our life well. We want to follow that call of the heart. To answer that call of the heart, the real reason for taking the precepts is because they describe the life of a Buddha, to show us how to live as a Buddha would live. Buddhas don't kill and steal and cheat people. Buddhas live according to the precepts. They live in this way that we are trying to emulate. And we don't do it perfectly, but we can aspire to live by the precepts. It's not some kind of ideal we can't possibly live up to and we'll always fall short and have to feel terrible. There's something that we aspire to. They're not commandments. Thou shalt not do this. There's, I wish to train myself to refrain from doing, you know, harming, killing, stealing. It all sounds very dramatic, and we don't kill and steal mostly, but, you know, we might kill an insect out of irritation, or, you know, slap a mosquito. We might say something's not quite true. We might be fudged ever so slightly on our taxes if you're looking closely. We might, you know, do little things that actually, when you look more closely, are breaking the precepts. We may be speaking against other people. We may be getting angry and kind of nourishing hatred, you know. There's all kinds of ways in which we may be not quite keeping to the precepts. Even though they sound like the dramatic ones, there's little ways. Am I careful, actually, when I take that little creature outside, put it out? Am I being careful that I don't hurt it, you know? Living the life of Buddha, living as a Buddha would live. This is what we would like to do. This is what we aspire to do. And as I said, we're not going to do it perfectly. We're human beings. The precepts are for humans. They're not just for Buddhas. They're for us, because we need them to guide us, to show us how to live our life well, how to do the least harm, how to help beings, not harm beings, how to cease from creating suffering for ourselves and others. All these ways, all these reasons, they all point towards taking and keeping the precepts. That little nagging feeling we get when we're not living in harmony, you know, if we keep to the precepts, we're living in harmony. with our true nature. When we have that little nagging feeling, something's wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And the precepts show us why. Ah, you said something unkind about somebody. Or you were a little brusque with that person. Or that wasn't right somehow. That wasn't right. And we can see where we made a mistake. We don't notice when we keep to the precepts. You know, it's a kind of a, we leave no wake. When we're keeping the precepts, we don't really notice it. We say, oh, look at all these precepts I'm keeping. Oh, I've kept 8 today, you know. It doesn't feel like that at all. We notice the ones we break. We notice when we make a mistake. And that's how it should be, because that's how we learn. We feel horrible. Oh, you know. Well, we can learn something. We don't have to have a horrible judgment fest. We can just see, ah, greedy. Once again, you know, I took something I really didn't need under somebody else's nose or something like that. You know, we just did something we really would have been better not to have done. And we feel a little bad about it. And think, or maybe you feel quite bad about it, might have been more than that. And just, well, I'm sorry. I would like to do better. To forgive ourselves, contrition. Contrition and conversion. I'm sorry for my mistakes. I would like to see clearly. What exactly did I do? To look it right in the eye. Ah, that was greedy. That was angry. That was selfish. But not, you know, go on and on and on about it. But to say, okay, I will try to do better next time. That's a conversion aspect, not just contrition, feeling badly, but also wanting to change. That's why we take the precept. We want to change. It's not just a way of making ourselves feel bad. It's a way of helping ourselves to create, to stop creating suffering, to do better. It's a tool to help us. A kindness, it's compassion. The precepts are all about compassion. If we couldn't have compassion for ourselves, we would just be constantly judging ourselves for never keeping up to our perfectly high standard. We have to have compassion for ourselves, for others, especially though for ourselves in the keeping of the precepts, because we do break them. They are the conduct of Buddhas, and we're not Buddhas yet, we're just human beings trying to do our best. And we have our weaknesses, our failings, our blind spots, which is what we're working on. To see with kindness, not with judgment and harshness, where we are going wrong, where we make mistakes. To see where our weak spots are, but with a kindly eye that can then learn and do things differently, not a judging, narrow little eye. You know. See where we fall into trouble. We are training. This is training. Training is an ongoing thing. We're training ourselves to keep to the precepts. We're not expecting to be perfect. A constant endeavor. Meditation goes hand in hand with the precepts. If we meditate, we see more clearly where we need to change. It comes up. We see. Oh. That thing that happened in the past, or that thing I just did the other day, or that thing I just... Why do I feel badly about that? Ah, I see. Meditation helps us. We don't spend our meditation periods thinking about the precepts, but it works together. When we try to keep to the precepts, we try to act from stillness, from meditation, not from impulse and selfishness, but what's good to do here? To sit still. What's best here? How do I do my best for other beings and myself? Meditation and precepts go together. And as we go on in our training, our understanding of the precepts will deepen. At first, you know, we're trying not to, you know, swat the flies anymore. And then we kind of deepen. We have real compassion for those little creatures. We take care of them, take them outside carefully. We might come to love the little flies in our house and not want to take them outside, just let them be there, you know. That's a silly example. To deepen our sense of what it means to keep the precept, any one of them, all of them. Reverend Master Jiyu wrote the Kyodo Kamen commentary. I think most of you are familiar with it. A commentary on Dogen's Kyodo Kamen, the teaching of the precepts. And she had this really profound writing that she did at a certain point in her life when she was in deep meditation. Keeping the precepts, understanding the precepts on a very deep level, and to try to follow that and to deepen our understanding to that level is the work of a lifetime. And actually you couldn't completely keep the precepts quite in that way, I think, as a normal human being, because you're always going to be subject to distraction, to a little moment of selfishness or irritation or whatever. And yet it's something to aspire to. It's to read this Kyodo Kamen commentary and to think, oh, it's so huge, the vastness of Buddhist training, the vastness of the precepts. Each one of them is much greater, much bigger than we could have imagined possible. And yet we can aspire to keep them in that way. We can do our best, starting with the insect, starting with kindness to other beings, and going on from there. Just, how do I take care of life? How do I cherish beings? How do I not cause other beings to despair or feel put down, not cut off somebody else's impulse, or that, you know, somebody wants to do something generous and may say, no, thank you, I don't need any help. That's killing, you know. But we don't think of it that way. But there's all these ways in which we can see the precepts more deeply. And as we go on in training, it comes up and we see, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I should have accepted the gift, even if I didn't really want it, to accept it out of gratitude for that kind offering that person made. This week, we all make our best effort to keep to the precepts. We try to do it anyway, but this week especially, monks and lay people, all of us, we all make an extra effort to reflect on the precepts, to see where we can do better, to try to keep to them. We may be working hard on a particular precept we have trouble with, as I said. We may be just trying to sit really still and wait before we say or do something, you know. Is this good? It's good to do. We may be looking, trying to watch our own mind more, see where irritable thoughts come up or uncharitable little thoughts come up. In all these different ways, we make our best effort to keep to the precepts. And we're all a little different in how we do it. But we all make our best effort during this week. And if it seems that we're constantly breaking all the precepts, don't be disheartened. It's because we're looking more closely, probably, rather than suddenly you're running amok. It's more likely you're looking more closely, seeing where we can do better. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged, because we can't do better until we can see what we need to do. As we see where we need to make a new effort, to make a change, where we've been doing something we actually should be doing differently. As we can see that, then we can change. So to see is a good thing, but it's not always comfortable. During this week, we have the five big ceremonies of Jukai. And those of us who have been here before know what they are, what they're like. If you haven't, you'll find out. And we'll explain them as we go along. Each of them says something about the precepts. They all have show different aspects of the precepts. And we have Dharma talks also to talk and discussions to talk about the precepts this week. So will there be plenty of food for reflection? And I think it'll be a really nice retreat. It's a joyful time. So enjoy Jukai. Be at ease. Don't be all worried. Yes, we try to make our best effort to keep to the precepts, but there's nobody sitting there with a little, you know, book watching. Oh, look at that. Right down. Nobody's doing that. We do it for ourselves, bad enough. And just be at ease. Enjoy this week. It's a very joyful time. And it's really good to see everybody. Old friends, new friends. It's nice to have you all here. Thank you. Oops, all backwards here. Thank you. Thank you all.